We're going to call this meeting to order at...
Pretty funny, huh?
9:32-ish. All right.
He actually called me for a call.
Can we have a roll call?
Andrew Everode. Peter Leeds.
Present.
Jason Madison.
Here.
David Swartz.
Here.
Randy West. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Now we have a call to the public, and I actually see that we have a victim. I mean, a member of the public is, and we know him as Greg Oswald, for the record. And of course, this is a open meeting, and if you have anything you want to discuss here, you can state that now, but unless it's on the agenda.
It's on the agenda.
Oh, you're on the agenda. Okay, perfect. And it's just in relation to something on the agenda is what you're here to... Okay, perfect. Nothing beyond that, because we wouldn't be able to address it if it's not on the agenda. Okay, terrific. So we'll get to that at the proper time. And now moving on to number four is adoption of the minutes. I had one change, I believe. On 5A paragraph, I don't think it's appropriate, or I'm not certain it's accurate, after the last sentence, the second Mr. Eckley, nor will they associate with him in the future. I think that should be stricken at minimum. I'm not even sure if a lot of that is necessary, but if we feel it is, that's fine. The prior statements in that sentence.
You want to end after Mr. Eckley did not speak for the board or the committee and stop there? Is that what you mean?
I think there's no reason to address what Ashy and Mr. Eckley's relationship is.
Yeah, but you also have the board included in here.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah. Unless that was discussed, though, that Ashy had confirmed to me, I believe I mentioned this, that Mr. Eckley is not currently representing the chapter any longer. He did it on a pro bono basis, so I don't know if the word employee... is proper, but anyway, the ties are severed there, so that is true if we feel it needs to be in the minutes. I'm not an expert of what has to be or should be in the minutes on that.
And, I mean, it's up to you. We can certainly shorten.
I would say the strike after committee, after the semicolon.
I would be in favor of that.
Strike the rest. The rest of it's, I mean, it's hearsay on your part.
Exactly.
I mean, we didn't have a representative Ashy here to say that they're
exactly.
not doing it, so I'd just
agree.
Get rid of all that.
And does anybody see anything else that might need change there? Okay. Does that mean no?
Yeah, I think so. I'll make a motion to accept the meeting of minutes with the amended section 5A.
I'll second that.
Is there any additional discussion? Any opposition to the passage of the motion? Okay, hearing none, it passes. And so if we want to use... Thank you. Next item on the agenda is... 5A, legislative updates. Is that mine or yours?
I think it was just a generic, and okay. So if you have any updates or info, inside intel, you could certainly share now.
Well, the Arizona Home Inspectors Coalition is intending to have to run a bill this session to get the electronic fingerprint.
Yay.
Cards going.
We're very excited.
So if I understand that correctly, that needs to be renewed every 6 years, is that correct?
Well, it depends on how you write the law. once you get a clearance card, it's for 6 years. If you put in your law that they have to renew it every 6 years, then yes, they would have to. If you don't, then at the end of that 6 years, they would be done.
Could the lawn folks do it, a renewal?
Right.
It
has to be in the law if you want them a requirement for renewal.
Is that advisable from you guys' perspective?
You mean it has to be in the law if you want one that's other than 6 years? Is that what you said?
Right. Essentially, to get licensed, they'd have to get one. And once you have one, it's good for 6 years.
Okay.
So if you want that to continue, then you would need to write into that bill that every 6 years, in order to renew, they'd have to continue to have a current clearance card.
Right.
Was that in the, that was in statute for the alarm clerk?
Yes.
Okay.
And it makes sense to just keep
it. Yeah, I thought we did, and I thought I had read a brief on what we were intending the language to be, and I don't remember reading it in there.
Well, but it's different in the alarms, because alarms now renews every 3 years. So they don't need to renew their clearance card every renewal period.
Well, they just have to have one in
they
good
have
standing
to have a valid
at the
one.
Time they renew. So
okay.
It doesn't have to be, you know, linked on an arm.
Okay, now we have home inspectors that had background checks who never have to have them again.
Right.
Okay, and now we have home inspectors with cards that we are saying we want to have them renew them every 6 years.
If you want it for renewal, it would apply to everybody. So mm-hmm. when the folks who have the background check, when it would become time for their renewal, they would need to get a clearance card at that point. So eventually everybody would be on the same track.
Affects us.
Yeah, you guys have to go.
Oh, yeah,
crimes, don't worry about it. Old crimes, we can get you through. Yeah.
And there's an appeal process because the clearance cards are, in my opinion, a bit more strict than like the board would be. So there are just some crimes that are per se going to keep people from getting clearance cards, but those crimes might be old, there might be mitigation, any number of things. So the fingerprint board allows for an appeal mm-hmm. process. Mm-hmm. So
it's its own board kind of.
Oh yeah.
And we talked to the director. He said if it's an old crime, it's a minor crime, it'll go right through and they'll get the waiver, but it'll just will take them a little bit longer.
Who would have to instigate the appeal?
The applicant. Mm-hmm.
Would it allow for somebody who wanted to get in the home inspection profession to start there?
It would.
Okay, because I actually attended a class at a school just to observe, and on the first day, and I had somebody come up to me at the break who said, you know, I just want to know if the board's likely to approve me or not. And I was like, well, I can't speak for that, but, you know, what are you thinking? And it was like, it was tough. It was arson, but it was my ex
oh, yeah.
my ex-wife lied and, you know, whatever.
She told him no problem.
Well, the trouble was, the only thing anybody could tell him was that you have to go through this process of paying for school parallels, get your application packet in, and then hope
is
for the best.
Is he 5 years out from absolute discharge?
I think so.
Okay.
I think he's already gone through, hasn't he?
But it's, you know, is it one of those that's rises pretty high, you know?
Yeah. He may not get a clearance card, but there's no way, if the legislation goes through, he may not get a
But it's at least
card.
A way to go figure
out.
Yeah.
It's better than what we have
now.
They
could go ahead of time and know.
Yeah.
Right, because now they have to wait for the board to either approve or deny their felony.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's a way better situation.
Yeah, they don't have to wait to apply to get a clearance card.
Yeah, as long as they have an active one during their application. So, yeah, you could do it a year in advance, technically, for 2 years, whatever.
When you apply for one, you have to check a box on under what law are you applying.
But it doesn't mean you have to have an application in, to be honest.
Right. Oh, that's true. So they could still check that they're applying under our law.
Yeah.
But they could do it before they submit an application.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that we were thinking of doing in running that bill was to just make our renewals every 2 years. Is that logical?
Sure. Yeah.
Cool. All right. And we'd love to do other stuff, but we don't want to make a controversial bill. So
you're talking about our certification renewal.
Yes.
Not the card now.
Card.
Not the background card.
No.
The certification.
Your felony
your home inspector.
Bar.
And the firm as well.
Home inspector license. The
Firm every 2 years?
Ooh, would we have to specify
firms
that?
Firms are every year.
Yeah, but you
no matter firm. What, we can't change it to 2 years?
Right, because every firm is good for a year.
In the whole agency?
Right.
And you don't have any interest. Okay. Don't you want the home inspectors to lead the way?
We used to get special treatment.
I know.
You still do.
We do?
Yeah, totally. I think there's been talk, from what I've heard, about this whole felony bar situation. And that may be something that the governor and the legislature tackle this year that would directly affect your registration requirements. We are not the only board that has a felony bar. There are, like the nursing board and a few other professions that have it, but the governor has been making noises about how felony bars are ridiculous and they're terrible to keep people from working in their chosen occupations. And so we may see some challenge there.
Not to strip it out, right?
Yeah.
Strip it out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the realtors will have something to say about that. That was their big item.
Well, and I understand the logic, you know, that you want to keep rapists and thieves
killers
and all those people from attacking folks who show homes. And
yeah,
I mean, all of that.
Wow.
But yeah, there's been some grumbling about that we've heard.
If that should happen, is there any way that the board can actually up the standard?
What do you mean?
And refuse felons?
No.
Somehow?
There'd have to be something in law.
Yeah.
I mean, you would still have the law that says they have to have good moral character and reputation. So you could still look at that. So if somebody like literally just walked out of jail and they were there for 18 years because of rape, you could deny them.
Well, just let the realtors fight that. We don't have the money for controversial stuff.
You might end up using that clause very often, then that should disappear.
Well, and keep in mind that's what the board uses for everybody else is the good character and reputation.
Okay. Would the board take a complaint involving theft or something like that? If the bar was taken away?
You mean it currently? Like, say you stole something and Peter complained about you to the board? Yeah, we would.
Really? Okay. So you could affect their license if it could be proven or something? Okay.
If it was related to their...
Because that's probably going to be what the governor's people would argue.
Well, that's another question. Would you go out of your way to approve that? I mean, would you hear that case, or would that have to go to civil court?
Criminal court.
It would be criminal. I mean,
you'd have to have a conviction, wouldn't you?
Well, that's a potential rule violation.
But it would have to be proven, and the board's not gonna hear that case, right?
Well, they might, because the burden is lower. It's a preponderance.
Oh, okay.
So rather than beyond a reasonable doubt. You know, so if we have an eyewitness...
Mm-hmm. Well, in the worst case scenario, they wait for the conviction and then they take action.
Right.
Yeah.
Or we do a, you know, temporary suspension or something like that until the
pending
court case is resolved.
Mm, good thought.
You know, I mean, we've
that's
done that too.
Thought.
Just say your license is suspended until such time that the court rules.
That's smart. Okay. I like
the old way was always much better. Go out in the parking lot, beat each other up a little bit.
I liked it.
Good old days are gone.
Well, and then the governor's representative came out in a yellow sheet blog recently and said that they are still discussing consolidation, and in likelihood there will be legislation proposing some boards. They won't tell anyone who they are, so that's definitely still on the table.
And just keep in mind you have Mr. Mitchell. I received a call from him about a month ago. He was unhappy because somebody he knew was waiting to get their app through because of the evaluation process. So there's always a risk that he may try to, if you run a bill, jump onto it. But I don't know how great that risk is right now for him in particular. He's
Is
he losing narration?
Have you met him?
I never have. And I thought that Rory was going to look to him as a sponsor, so... No,
we discussed Mr. Kavanaugh, who ran the alarm bill. He would be much better.
Okay, and then was there other things that you had?
That's the grumbling that I've heard. nothing specifically directed at us, except that it might, there might be, because I gave an interview to a New Times reporter a year and a half ago at the request of one of our architect board members. I don't know if you read it, but it was published last week. I have a copy of it. When the deregulation of the geologists and the landscape architects was going through. And I don't believe I was reported accurately, but apparently there's a little line at the, I mean, I said a lot of stuff about public protection and, you know, but the governor's office was pretty upset about one comment attributed to me at the end of the article where apparently I sigh. No one from the governor's office wants to hear from us. So, yeah,
that's
I got a call on that one. And I had no idea. It was great. I had no idea that the article was published because I got the call the day before the normal publication date. I went and called back from my husband's law firm because I'm like, what are they going to say? You can't speak to the press, and then I'm going to sue for violation of my First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. So rather than call me back here, they called me back at my husband's law firm and heard, law offices! So it freaked them out a little bit. But I said, you know, I remember talking to a New Times reporter a year and a half ago, but I haven't spoken to him recently. What article is it? Can you send it to me? I haven't seen it. So they sent it to me. I read it. And it's like, yeah, he makes it sound like I talked to him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so of course, I sent it out to the board members, and JMAD responds, that's what you get when you talk to a reporter.
Exactly.
That's why you never talk to anybody ever.
Right. So I have Neil to thank for that. Because Neil didn't understand what was going on with all the dereg stuff, so he told the reporter, just call Melissa. Mm-hmm. So the blog came out from the governor's representative saying, well, we're not deregulating architects, which is what the article makes it sound like. There, it's going to be a slippery slope that will be going from deregulating geologists and landscape architects down the line. But we are still thinking about consolidation and other things. So then there's a response from the New Times reporter, because they slam the New Times as a rag and they say other things.
Yeah.
That he felt necessary to respond to. So I have the whole chain if you're interested.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Something that could be emailed?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I have two links. The yellow sheet blog I'll have to send you, but it's just a one-page thing.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
So yeah, Scarpinato is the governor's spokesperson. And
got some...
Of course, my name's right there in the middle, yeah. So I might be coming a home inspector.
Yeah, they sure are. I don't know if you're going to pass the background check. We do have, what is it,
lawyers might
good
be
reputation.
A good reputation. Good reputation.
Yeah, so.
A struggle. Hmm. So
you were misquoted on the side, probably.
There were comments that I don't remember making. And
you might not have been contacted way back then. I mean, there was very little interaction at that point.
Exactly. There really was. So,
yeah, it was,
you know, no one really was interested in what we had to say. They just went ahead and proposed the bill to deregulate. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so it was accurate a year and a half ago. It's just the tenor of the article made it sound like I made those remarks last week, you know.
I can see the cartoon now with all of us standing in the bum line out on the street saying, damn you, Melissa.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Peter.
So if we did the fingerprint card and the 2 years, the agency doesn't have anything else that's needed, maybe? Or like, there has been some talk, and it'd probably make Mr. Mitchell happy, that if, like, we got an earful at the Arizona ASHI seminar about how long it takes for report review and the fingerprint card or whatever's causing the backup, and those two are the potential items, you know, that
yeah.
can have something worked on. So we look, it was mentioned there, and I've kind of looked into just, can we have a consultant home inspector, a retired home inspector or something, even an independent contractor. Is there anything in statute needed for that if we wanted to look at that sooner or later?
We'd have to go through procurement. We would need the appropriation, the money, to pay a consultant home inspector to do the job. We need some kind of analysis, like how long would it take and, you know, how much to pay and...
Well, it was thrown out at the meeting. In fact, the applicant that's sitting there waiting is like, I pay $100, you know, or whatever. You guys pick the amount, actually, just for an expedited fee. You know, and then, so then the people applying can go low cost or pay more.
We'd get crucified if we did that.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because they would say you're slowing down these ones just to get the additional revenue.
You're accommodating the wealthier at the expense of them.
So
you wouldn't have to go through all that procurement if you guys had a volunteer who would come in and would do it.
See, and that's the problem.
That's what the engineers have.
We don't have very many volunteers. We have some, like Peter and Rick and a few others. But you guys are working, so it's hard to find folks who...
I guess the question is, does it need a statutory change if we were to address it?
Yep.
You think we need to catch you?
I think so, because the EAC setup says a committee, volunteer committee.
Wait.
So just change it to volunteers?
To hire somebody? Subcommittee.
To hire somebody?
I think so.
It takes statutory change?
We used to work on director subcommittees.
You don't think so?
I mean, we could just procurement put out bids for somebody to come in and just do evaluations.
Contract?
I mean, we could check it out, but I don't think we'd have to have statutory authority to do it.
A basket at the front counter would work. If you want to come through quick.
I need to know that if you guys could sort that out.
Okay. But you know what? It's actually, it's safer than, you know, better safe than sorry. Maybe it's just better to put... The problem is once you put it in there, you have to do it.
Right.
What if you stop needing it?
Yeah.
If the law says the board will have a person on contract to evaluate, then you don't have a choice not to.
Well, we used to work on director subcommittees.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't you just set up a subcommittee when you need it?
And we have. That's what we have with, we call, thank you, the application review committee.
And have someone just, and pay a fee to someone to do it out of the general fund, general BTR fund?
I guess there could be something that says the board may reimburse subcommittee members to evaluate applications.
Yeah, that...
And just do it when you're in a
pitch.
Put
a may, not a shall.
Yeah.
I like that. Just because it's beyond the fact that it takes a long time, especially our world is March through July, we're slammed. That's
right.
When people are observing that the real estate market's heavy. They're jumping and running to the schools, getting, you know, and the bottleneck just occurs. It's predictable, and especially when the market's as hot as it is. But there's inconsistencies with the report reviews, too, that's problematic. It's very problematic.
Yeah.
So I'm very passionate about getting this dialed in if we can. Because
that,
we could...
Is that something that you guys could just use a staff position? And just
We actually do use staff. The committee is more than just the one evaluator.
Well,
we
use me, but I'm not an expert.
Well, we have licensing techs who start the whole thing. Rob looks at them, Patty looks at them, and then we send them to a reviewer.
What if we sent Rob to home inspection school, and then he can hang out with Peter for two months?
I don't do the school, but I don't think time's allowing it.
That's the problem is having staff with the time.
Right.
If you have a good report, it takes 20 minutes. If you have a bad report... It takes 2 to 3 hours.
But I'm not talking about your current staff. I mean, do we have an open staff position? I mean, bringing in someone that could just do that.
Or what if there's like a pay per report, like let's just random number, $30 per report reviewed. Somebody just comes in and grabs five and $150 and does five. Like, is there a way to contract a position like that? Or
there is, but
that would go through procurement,
right?
If we did it that way.
But you wouldn't have to go through procurement if you, it's just a, if you get, because we have open staff slots, right?
Yeah, but that's a full-time position with,
and you have to pay taxes and benefits.
Is there any of the chores that they could do on the home inspector side, as far as enforcement side chores? Do you have any shortages of, or any need for a staff person that could help out on home inspection matters specific?
I mean, how many applications do you guys get?
It's about 12 a month. They were backed up because we were getting 14, 12, whatever, and then
right.
Sending out only 5 or 6 a month. And we're backed up at 13 right now, so it's getting better. And I have the last 3 I granted were only 2 months from start to finish. So
that's what I think the threshold should be. I can see a 60-day threshold. But these people are reporting 4 months or 6 months, and staff's even telling them this is going, they warn them, I have heard.
Yeah, we'll say 2 to 6. I mean, they even says on our website.
But it does say on the website 2 to 6 months, depending on what you submitted. If they submit a good report, 2 months, they're done.
Right.
If it's 6 months, it's because they keep submitting substandard reports that has to go back to them and back to them because they're not meeting the minimum standard. So when somebody's taking a long time, it's usually that's the situation.
They're not the sharpest. Peter and I were just
saying
on the walk-in, we were talking about it. It was like, remember when we were kids and you're at school or in any environment, you are submitting your best work, and it's like
final draft.
How did we not teach our kids to do that?
I don't know. We're getting people, applicants, submitting their bosses' reports.
Yes, and that really drives me nuts.
You know, I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there's got to be a way to fix it. A lot of times what happens is the bad reports back everything up, because then they go in the queue to go back to an evaluator. In the meantime, the new reports come in, and they sit there and they wait. So in the case of Mr. Mitchell's call, I went and pulled that applicant's report. It had been sitting for 4 months without ever being reviewed because he was stuck in the queue. It was a perfect report. Perfect.
Wow.
And within 20 minutes, it was done. I called him and congratulated and said, would you please share this with your coworkers?
So that statement,
it's the bad reports that kind of block it.
That's exactly why about a year to 6 months ago, I was adamant that we need to make them go to the list of what's in the standards and copy and paste from their work into that, and then it's easy. I don't have to search. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
does that need statutory authority?
Actually, it's on the agenda that they didn't take it that way.
Who's they?
The applicants.
Oh.
It's on that later on the agenda that essentially what we're getting is check, not an actual report.
We're getting this as a report from...
Yeah.
That's all we're getting is just...
Can I see that for a second?
Yeah, you can pass those around if you all want to see one.
It's not being seen as a guide.
This is the one we talked about earlier where I said they need a cover sheet on this. They could get rid of that top shot.
So do they fill it out?
They get filled out.
It got filled out. It just says...
That's
what's being submitted.
I know, but they failed to insert their comment.
Yeah.
Well,
they're not submitting a report.
They are filling these out. They're saying good, and if it's bad, they're giving a recommendation.
Oh.
Okay, but they're all the same. So in essence, this one form could actually be 800 different jobs. We're really looking for a true parallel with a cover sheet. If they put a cover sheet on that and send it with an application and it's properly filled out, that's going to be acceptable. We can't stop that. And it's not a bad idea, but we really want to see what they're doing in the field. You know, if they're going to use this in the field, they're not going to get any business.
And this is really the next agenda
item. I don't care whether
item.
They get business, actually.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, before we go to that then, let's go back to this fingerprint card. Okay, can we talk more about the fingerprint card? My only concern is that these are 6-year cards. When in that 6-year period are you going to expect the other inspectors who have already gone through the fingerprint card to get a fingerprint card?
At their renewal.
At their very next renewal.
That's how we did it with alarms.
So we're looking at getting fingerprint cards next year.
Right.
Well, okay. If the law passes.
Yeah. If the law passes.
Right.
But you just have to provide a valid one. So say you say the renewals stay the same and it's every year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just provide the same same card every year for 6 years.
For 6 years.
And then you know your card's going to expire. So on the seventh year, you go and you get a new card.
Right. So all that, the onus of all of that, it will be on the inspector to actually go and get his own card. And how is that process done?
It's fast.
It is pretty fast.
I mean, is it done on the internet? Is it done in person?
You can do it on the internet, or you can go in and get your fingerprints photographed digitally, and then it's submitted to DPS. They run the background. They run your arrest history.
So every 6 years you're going to be reprinted?
What happens? You go online, you complete the application online, and you make an appointment online to go get your electronic fingerprints taken.
And is that going to be done in a specific place or any of the fingerprint places?
They have them set up at various places,
right.
So it's convenient for people to go. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They just do that, and then it gets run, and then it gets sent to them.
And what you receive back is digital?
What you receive back is the card.
A card.
Physical card.
Says, physical card?
Yeah,
physical
yeah.
So then you guys are going to digital, though, right? What are they supposed to do? Everybody's going to have
card.
To mail?
Scan it.
They scan it. They send a piece of paper with a photocopy from the back of the card.
Scan it.
So if it's scanned, it can't be falsified or anything?
We can look at the number on the DPS site and make sure it's still good. I mean, you know, can anything that can be scanned be falsified?
But this is as good as you can get.
So you scan that and send it in?
Yeah, you scan from, just like their driver's license, they have to scan front back, and they could falsify that as well, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it has a number on it and your name on it, right?
Right.
And you can look it up on site.
Right,
so
you
could punch in the number, just like you can check on an engineer's license or something.
Right?
I mean, if someone has a fake seal, you can punch in the number and go, well, the name doesn't match the number.
Yeah, it's not a perfect system, but it's a better system than we have.
No color.
And then
no photo.
It is really boring. Wow,
black
that's
the only color in there. Blue eyes and hazel hair.
That's my exact size and weight.
This is your card.
Yeah, actually, I'm a couple up from there.
I got the eye and the hair color. I should just put that in my pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, I could be that person. So it sounds like we could run into times where their cycle of renewal is a little bit off, and they're going to get jacked out of 1 year of the six.
Right. That's
I'm sure
happen.
That'll
happen. That's happened with a lot of agents, too.
I figured that would happen. But
yeah,
so what?
Time,
you get 5 years
up.
Out.
Yeah.
And
okay.
What we did for the alarm people when this happened was we notified them. We sent out 3 mailings. It's on the website. It's in the newsletter. It's on Facebook. It's however we can notify them. And then we still get it. We still get calls from companies because they're all about, you know, getting their people registered. It's just a matter of educating them, and then, you know, once people have done it one time, it's pretty much established for them. So.
And it's like what, 7 to 10 days?
We're seeing in about 6 days is the quickest I've heard, and then 10 days is like the longest it takes if there's no hits. A common hit is possession of marijuana. It's one of the most common ones, and that'll actually prevent them. Then they go to the fingerprint board, and that process is pretty quick, actually, too.
Does that require an appeal?
Yes.
It requires an appeal.
But it's pretty fast.
But it's fast, and
they explain
everyone's been
it.
Getting them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So say this year, consider it to be the worst case or thus far in the real estate cycle. What was the longest amount of time a report review side of the process was taking?
Maybe it depends on the rejection. When they got rejected, it was up to 4 or 5. I saw one from like April or something. It's been rejected 3 times. We're giving them one more chance, but
that's not a problem with the system.
That's not the system, but yeah, I think from the delay of getting it out, it's like 2 months delay. From
2 months.
Shipping it out.
Went to the home inspector, and it took 2 months to get back.
So 2 months. To get to a home inspector, then another month to come back from the home inspector.
Three months?
3 months total from when they're administrative.
Just to get the first review done.
To get the first review.
So that's too long. So our potential to fix it is what?
Get them out quicker. What's the hold up on getting them out? Why do they sit in the...
Well, they didn't go out.
They're waiting for an evaluator.
When, yeah.
Oh.
Meaning they were too busy to take any more?
Correct. So when we say...
So that's part of the too long.
Will you take two? Will you take one? And you've seen my email blast. We now have 12 people.
Was that you? I'm very proud of you. That was an excellent email blast.
Please do those, like, every month.
We went down from 24 to... We're at 13 right now. We're getting less of the applications in, like you're saying. The bottleneck was over the summer.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can get these down to a reasonable amount.
Are we confident in that? Like, we don't need to take action, or
no. We should take action.
Whatever we can think of. Yeah.
But for what we have, the last three that I've approved, I signed yesterday. They came in around 9/1, 9/13, and I just approved them. So that we're looking at a 2-month window, which
shorter.
Is good. Yeah.
That's a 2-month window after the review.
No, 2 months from when the application came in the front door.
Okay.
With the fingerprint cards. So that's...
But you're a month after the review there, right?
A month.
You said 9/1?
Is when the application
came
in the office, yeah.
Oh, 9/1 is when it came
when
in
it
originally.
Came in, sorry, yeah. Okay. So the last three that I've approved, which was yesterday, we got three back.
Mm-hmm.
I approved them. They were all within, all about 2 months from start to finish, which is really good. Compared to 6 months that we could.
But this is a slow time, so that's easy. So can we, one potential is to get added to our bill that the board may add a paid position for home inspection.
Or may reimburse committee members for application review, application and complaint review.
When you say you had 24 and you're down to 13.
Okay.
13 is still sitting waiting for a home inspector?
Correct.
Well, in that period of time, I did six. So you're telling me that out of the 14...
You did all the... Yeah, you...
That I did half of those? Where is everybody else?
Because more are coming in. So
more coming in.
I got six more applications.
Right.
But you've taken six. So yeah, it's still piling up. We have seven sitting next to them that aren't administratively complete yet.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So I have 20 waiting to go out, but I'm waiting for those seven to be complete before I count those.
I understand.
So when I said I had 24, I maybe had 36 in-house.
Right.
And more coming in, some coming out. So
we have enough guys working on them?
We have 12. They're not all responding. When I first started, I think we were at 4 or 5. I think it was you, Rick, two other people.
Randy, probably.
And that one of them wasn't even doing them. So now we got some new people and some aren't even doing them, but they do one or two. It's really helping out. So
would you want that to just be specific to the home inspectors or leave it broad? Yeah, I'd leave
it
broad.
So instead of telling Ruby to send me two,
and you think that's adequate?
Four.
Just a statement about
send as many as you.
That might give us some flexibility.
Yeah,
to fix
and that
it.
Way I'll know. Like, say we start paying evaluators. And I'll know, I have up to $10,000 of my own procurement authority, so we'll see how much we end up paying, and then if we need more, we'll go through the procurement process.
Perfect. Okay,
I'll do it for 10 grand.
I'll add that in.
Yeah, Randy's
all here,
too.
I thought you were doing it
too.
For three.
For
three?
Well, I still think, why don't you guys think about maybe hiring a staff person that could just be a home inspector person, because obviously it's taking Patty's time, it's taking his time, it's taking all these guys incredible amount of time.
Yeah.
You'd have one person that could just, you know, would take him in, review him, actually do the reviews. I mean, they might have to sit down with these guys and learn how to do them, but it might be a better long-term, you know, where you just have an in-house person. The other thing that could help with is these ones where you're kicking them out, sending them back, getting them back in, kicking them out. You could call that person and say, come down and meet with this person, you know, or that person calls and come down and meet me. So let's go through this.
Is a face-to-face allowed in this system?
No.
No, but not. But it wouldn't be a face-to-face between a home inspector and the applicant. It would be between the staff person and the applicant. And they could sit down with them and go, this is why this is getting rejected. You know, after the first time you send it back, you get it back again. At that point in time, you call them and say, come down. Let's go through this so you're not sending these things back 4, 5, 6 times. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Well, we're not doing that many times, right?
We have a three limit.
Yeah, I've only sent twice back.
But even after the first time, I mean, if they can't get it after the first time, maybe they need to sit down with someone that can explain to them, look, this is,
here's the checklist, here's your report, let's go through it, you know, it, I don't know, I mean, it might
be... I'm not sure that's necessary, because what's happening is when we send it back the first time, they generally make the corrections. We send it back the first time and they don't make the corrections and it has to go back again, it's because they're disagreeing, okay? Mm-hmm. And then when the third time comes, if they're not going to get on board with that, I don't care if we ever see them again.
Right, yeah. But every time you send it back, it's add another month, kicking good applicants back.
I would say, tell them to come on in and talk to your staff member as a last resort, at the very last time you're going to accept this application, you know?
Here's something to think about, though. It's been a while since we've done a cost-benefit analysis for home inspectors. We really need to, because for a long time, the engineers are subsidizing the home inspectors because the numbers of home inspectors registered were low compared to the engineers and the architects. And then the percentage of complaints that we were getting was much higher. So home inspectors and surveyors take up the bulk of our enforcement resources. So we haven't raised the application and renewal fees because basically the engineers were subsidizing. And I think we need to revisit your idea given how much resource we have to pay for an in-house FTE, basically full-time employee. Because, say for instance, the governor decides that home inspectors deserve a better home than here at BTR, and they break off your program. If we have a full-time home inspector FTE, you may not be able to support that. You know what I mean? Financially. I don't know if I'm saying this appropriately.
The fees would skyrocket, is what you're saying.
It's worth looking into, especially if you have an open slot. You know, if you didn't have an open slot and you had to go to the governor and get an open slot, but we do have
open slots, but we don't. The problem is we may lose those in the coming legislative session because the governor's been asking us for, we are appropriated for 25. We operate with 21. So I have 4 spots in reserve, but I don't have the money to fill those slots with our current appropriation.
Right.
So we would have to go in with the justification for an appropriation increase to pay someone to be a full-time FTE.
Right, but I think your justification increase would be we're having home inspectors aren't able to work, you know, go into Ducey's thing, you know, we're restricting their practice to work because it takes so long to get processing because we don't have the staff to handle it, and this would be a full-time staff person that would accelerate that process. I think if you approach it that way, I think you could probably get someone. Now, obviously, it's not like the person's going to walk in the door and be able to review these things and understand them. I mean, it's going to take a little bit of training with, you know, these guys, you know, saying, you know, Peter sits down with them and goes, here's how I review these and, you know, go through them and teach them how to do it. You know, it's going to take a little bit of a process, but, you know, between all the time that's being spent on it, I don't know. I mean, it seems like, but, you know, maybe you raise the rates to justify paying for that person, too.
Another option is to go through a temporary service where we use the person for the amount of time we need them. Because part of the problem with the full-time FTE, we probably don't have work for a full-time FTE.
That's true.
Plus, we have, for the salary we pay a staff person, there's another 25% we pay to employee benefits.
Right.
So it's... But
40%.
Yeah, 40% now. So,
But I'm sure...
One of the ways we've kind of dealt with that is a temporary service where a person kind of comes in for...
Find high-level people that
Right, but a temporary service,
the agency.
You'd have to have someone train them every single time you got a temp in.
Oh, no. We have one person. We use them as long-term staff.
Yeah. Like, we have Kramer on a temp service now.
Oh, okay.
And he works part-time.
Yeah, you just go sign up with the agency.
And we could probably do that.
That's a good call. Because it's seasonal, as I said. There's a season for it. And if the real estate market will chill out, it could all go away. You know, if the real estate market does a downturn, this goes away to some extent.
Well, and actually, I like the temp idea. So, like, say, for instance, we call Peter and we're like, Peter, can you sign up with XYZ temp company and come in a couple hours a week and...
For pay.
Yeah.
Are you asking me for real?
No, I'm just saying hypothetically. Hypothetically. It doesn't have to be you, but I mean...
Hypothetically, it could happen. But also, how many do we have reviewing reports, you say? Solid?
I have 12 names right now.
12 names?
12 names sent to...
I'd be willing...
There's four performers out of that or something.
In here with 12 people and show them exactly how to do this. I would be willing to do that.
And yeah, but we can't get them to come in. We've tried
Well, then I'd be willing to sit with three of them. You see? Mm-hmm. And show them how to do it. All right? And then at least we know we have three of them that are doing it.
So the temp agency idea doesn't do anything for the inconsistency problem if you're just drawing them in.
No, we could. Well, we wouldn't. We would, like, with Mr. Kramer, he is the person.
He's the only one.
We're filling a staff position.
There's one person's reviewing it, so the consistency would be consistent.
Yeah. It would be the same person all the time. It's just that they wouldn't be a regular employee of the agency.
Yeah, they would come in.
And you don't need statutory change for that, right?
No.
Okay, can you look at that, like, ASAP?
Sure.
And then...
would you pay that on a 1099?
The temp agency handles all of that.
Yeah.
Will the temp agency pay on a 1099?
The temp agency is on contract with the state, so we avoid procurement problems, because I looked at the GAO bulletin on that. Okay. And then we just agree with the temp agency that we want to pay this amount, which in their mind pays for their expenses as well as the employee hourly salary, and their expenses include whatever tax information, and that's a good idea, actually.
I love that idea. Should I still keep this in the bill, though, that the committee could be paid as well, just if we ever needed it down the road? Like, the governor said no more temp agency stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we may already even have that implied, because remember, I've come to you guys a couple times saying, how come you don't want to get paid, because we could pay you $30 a day. And you've said you want to be off the grid. So I think impliedly we can pay the committee members.
What am I, off the grid in this room?
You know, we'll look, David.
Yeah, we'll look.
Is this a question mark whether to add this in the bill?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think the temp would solve the problem, because then we could fit, it would be the same person all the time.
We'd have to hear from you guys, who do you want? Who is available?
Peter. I'd be willing to sit down in here and train that person.
But not come in every week and spend a couple hours?
Well, it depends on how I get paid.
Well, you would get paid through a temp agency.
How I get paid, yeah. And we'll have to
envelope of cash under the table.
Now you're coming off the grid.
Mr. Off the Grid. Okay, cool.
Chickens and coons.
We're nearing the end of the year, though, so that we'll probably have to... Roy will be talking to you guys, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
She and Patty have a good relationship,
All right, wonderful. Does that wrap up this section, do you think?
I think we talked it out pretty well.
I think we hammered it. All right, so agenda item number 5A, or B, is report checklist. Oh, I'm sorry.
We may want to consider going to 5B for Mr. Oswald.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, you can't. I don't want to get you out of order. You're doing good. I've learned stuff, too. It's kind of...
Just tell them you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah, so we'll adjust our agenda to address item 5D, which is standards of professional practice.
Time to speak. I've got two issues I'd like to talk to you about the standards of practice. The first one, I read these standards, you know, and I know why I do that, but when I do it, it's like someone changes the wording on them for me, and it's kind of weird. But let's say 8.2B says, the inspector shall report any observed aluminum branch wiring circuits. Now, we always consider that as any observed solid strand aluminum circuits. But it doesn't say that in the standard. So how do we get away with not reporting on all aluminum circuits?
You don't. You have to report all.
Okay. And what you just say that they're all okay, satisfactory? You don't have to say, like,
report the
aluminum circuit to range, water heater, and whatever, satisfactory?
Can I say something?
Yeah, I wish you would.
I talked to an electrician about this, and he said, this guy's been in business for a long time. He said, solid strand aluminum wiring has not been outlawed on 240 circuits, okay? And you'll notice that on the newer homes, you're starting to see more solid strand aluminum wire, solid aluminum wiring coming in on your 240 circuits, okay? Also, your stranded aluminum has always been acceptable because it's a different alloy. They use antioxidant paste. It's a whole different alloy. What we're really concerned with is 110 volts, the line voltage, 110, 120. In the reports that I'm seeing, these guys are actually starting now to address stranded aluminum wiring on their 240 circuits, saying it's acceptable. And so I don't know whether we really need to address aluminum wiring unless it's an adverse condition, and it's an adverse condition when it's on a 110-volt circuit. You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but since the standard says you will report on any observed breakage, any. So really, when I review these reports for people on an EAC member, if I don't see that, because you can just say, because what we generally have said is people would say, okay, what type of wiring was copper and aluminum? That doesn't solve it. That doesn't cover it as far as I'm concerned. That's not hitting the standard.
Right, and it wouldn't. And I would agree with you. If you and I were looking at a report and the guy said branch circuit wiring, copper and aluminum, and didn't specify what type of aluminum or how it was used, I would dig them on that too. Mm-hmm.
So, if they say multi-strand aluminum, satisfactory, and they don't have to say which circuits it's going to because it says, you know, report any, I'm kind of confused on report any, does that mean you don't really specify that it's going to a water heater because it's multi-strand? You don't really specify, you just say it's satisfactory.
Well, they're not using a multi-strand on a 110-volt circuit, so it's got to be to a 240-volt circuit, and we don't really care which one it's going to.
That's fine. Okay, I just want to make it clear that they will separate and say that they don't understand.
But Craig, Greg,
yeah.
if you're reviewing a report and they just say copper aluminum, and they don't identify that aluminum as acceptable on 240-volt circuits, then I would dig them on
that. Okay, I appreciate that. Now, my second question would be regarding the thing about swimming pools. It's my understanding that now swimming pools are part of the home inspector's report. Is that correct?
If he chooses it to be so.
Well, see, that's what I wanted. That's
it's
what
optional, but if you're going to inspect a pool or spa...
It's not really part of the standard. Then. It's not part
it's
of
got
the
its own standard. Its own if standard. He does it, he has to meet the standard, but he can choose to opt out. It's the only thing in a home inspection he can choose to opt out
of. That was the only thing I was confused on. So I was going to say, if it was part of the standard, then we couldn't really charge extra for it because that wouldn't be right.
Oh, you mean as a home inspector?
Yes.
Oh, I charge extra for it.
You can charge extra.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but it was part of the standard. You couldn't, because you can't say, okay, I'm going to charge extra to
Who
check your electrical
that?
Panel. I'd have to charge extra to do your toilets. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, if it was part of the standard, you couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying?
You couldn't sell that, right.
You couldn't sell it. You'd have to just say, well, this
you
is my
You can do what
fee.
You want. You could break out your pricing to be...
No, probably not.
You could price yourself right out of business, too. Yeah. But the truth is... But, no, it's an optional thing. It's got its own standard, and and some people are using a second agreement on that as well, although it's included in my original.
Don't have to, though.
No, I understand that.
But it is optional, and you don't need to do it, and you should charge more for it.
There you go. All right, that's all I needed. Thank you for going to that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks, good question.
It's good to see you.
I'm really interested in this fingerprint, so I'm out of time.
Yeah.
I know.
Here we go.
I'm kind of worried about that one. Anyway, thanks.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. You don't mind if I leave, right?
See you soon.
I understand completely. All right.
Go make some money.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, really. Okay, so backing up, if we can address... Agenda item 5B, which is report checklist supplement, and this is our annual review. Unfortunately, we don't have Randy here, and he had actually mentioned that he had something at the last meeting, but I don't think we captured it anywhere. And I don't think it was earth-shattering type change needed either. Let's see where my comments. Okay. However, since I am the author of the asterisk, and I'm going to test Peter's mood right now.
Hello.
This will be a test of Peter's mood. Does everybody understand what the asterisk is there for? It's if something does not exist at the property, you do not have to report and say not present. So, like if there's no garage, you do not have to report and say that the garage door opener was not present. So therefore, I'm just wondering, item number 41 is flues and vents. So if it's an all-electric home, I'm not sure why that wouldn't have an asterisk. Perhaps we were fearful that
if it was
a gas appliance and it had no flue or vent, we're scared to death somebody would try to use the asterisk and not report on it.
But we went down this road a long, long time ago, somewhere in the last 17 years. And we started talking about, okay, well, that applies to a lot of different things. For instance, what if there are no porches, I apologize, what if there's no patios, walkways, or driveways? Okay, do we asterisk that too? How about, we got a lot of asterisks in here. How about if there's...
Okay, so I can already tell what kind of mood
you're know
in.
Where I'm going.
Okay.
Yeah?
So I don't know that I have any changes to this document.
You want to add an asterisk, you know what's going to happen to me about that.
Okay, if you want to take one more look, then the only note I had taken from Randy's comment involved, I believe, something to do with supports on like gas piping. But I think it's in here properly.
You know what? If he's talking about the asterisk on 42, I'd be all right with getting rid of it. But to bring it back to your way of thinking, if we asterisk 42, why are we not asterisking 41?
Right.
They're both going to show up at the same time. And not only that, but there's another one in here. It's 59 with chimneys, flues, and vents.
Right, that's the other one I threw in to talk about. But that's really all I had. There's...
But you think... we have to give these guys some type of credit. If there's an electric water heater on the property, there are no flues and vents to talk about.
I know.
Okay. But if there's no vegetation on the property, you know, there's no food, there's no vegetation to talk about either. You know, I mean, so it's like...
The vegetation is more like, really all they have to report is whether it's having an impact on the structure.
Yeah. So the...
My reference to the...
On those asterisks, I can go either way. You can take them all off the flues and vents and the get and a few lines, or you can put them all on there. Either way, I don't think it's going to make a bit of...
I got a question about 59. Mm-hmm. So it says, you know, observe, report on condition. Required if dwelling has gas heater, report on flues and vents as well as combustion and air ventilation. What if it's a wood-burning stove or a wood-burning fireplace?
That's 60.
Oh, okay. So you're counting that as something different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fireplace, but I don't know. I mean, but they have chimneys, flues, and vents as well.
Yeah, and that's also on page in the roofing section.
Oh, okay.
Where we deal with chimneys. That's going to be 27, and those are asterisked.
I think I've already run this gauntlet, and so on 41, whatever's after the word condition was in there to clarify. Instead of putting the asterisk, we put that in to clarify. But technically speaking, the way it exists right now, if it's an all-electric home, since there's no asterisk, you must say water heater, flues and vents not present, without the asterisk. If you want to read it to the harshest letter of the law.
Yes, you're probably right. All right. However, I do anyway. But I mean, there could be guys that don't address. I mean, that would be an NA in my.
They're going to get hung every time, you know, if it's an all-electric home. So yeah, I think it belongs in with our concept of the purpose of an asterisk. You know what? If you guys wouldn't mind, the support came from, I think, one of my guys who's doing review work. And if I can contact him, I think he said something, and I maybe didn't capture it. So I'll just give him a try real quick and see if he can explain it.
Do you want to take a break?
Hopefully this will be like 1 minute. Or I won't get him, you know?
When I'm reviewing these reports, when I come to an item such as water supply leaks, and I get through the whole report, because it's asterisked, we don't have to talk about it if there aren't any, and I get through the whole report and didn't see any notations on water supply leaks, I write in here assumed none, okay? And if any should be proven to be there, the guy's going to get hit for this, you see? So this is my way of thinking on cross connections, water supply leaks, all of these different asterisk items, is eliminate the asterisk, okay? But I'm never going to win that battle, I know, especially when we're sitting here. So the good home inspector doesn't leave his client assuming anything, nothing, okay? He tells him everything. And if the client says, well, do I have the composition shingle roof good, all right? And it's a tile roof, the guy is going to say, hey, it's a tile roof. There's no composition shingle roof, you know. So when it comes to water supply leaks, my report will actually say there are none, okay, even though it's an asterisk item, because I don't want my client to assume anything. I go through these, and on all these asterisks that are not addressed in the report, I write in the actual application review, assume none. You see, and the so that's why I'm against the asterisk. I think that if there's no drain leaks, for instance, it should be said there's no drain leaks. But that's just my way of thinking. That's how I do business. When it gets down to the fuel, to the flues and vents, if there aren't any on the job, my report actually says there aren't any there. None. NA. Okay. Right. And I would prefer everyone to do that, but I can understand that the standards only require you to do that if they're present. So I accept the asterisks. And then we get down to adding more asterisks, and then I begin to worry a little bit. Because what we're not doing is giving the client a better understanding of the property. That's not exactly true. We still are. But we're opening the client up to assumptions, right? A client is the layperson. They have no clue the difference between a gas and an electric water heater in many cases. And they call you up on the phone and say, well, how about my flues and vents? Well, you don't have any. You got an electric water heater. But you know, you're leaving them with a question. So my report follows this format and leaves no questions to be asked. You know what I'm saying?
That's why your report is beyond the minimum standard.
Yes, it is. But the minimum standard is here designated and highlighted with asterisks, okay, which I don't think we need. But I can't get anybody on this committee to agree with me on that. So,
you know. Well, I mean, and
it's not only
the counter to it was the confusion it sometimes creates in the client's mind, too, of, you know, what they don't know that an electric water heater doesn't need a floor vent. So that's always present in terms of the education process and the inability to do that with the client. But the other thing was that we always took the stance, though, that if there's something that you did not report, then you bought that. Remember?
Right.
We would say
that's true.
You kind of own that.
You own it. If you say it's
so
okay, you own the whole thing if you're not going to be specific. Yeah.
Are the things we've asterisked part of a home inspection, or are they just some stuff that you
No, they're did? Part of the standards.
So why are we asterisked?
Because if they're not there,
they're not up as there.
If they're not there,
okay.
If there's no garage.
Then you just say not present.
right?
Well, I say NA, right.
Right.
All right.
But we made no allowance for this. Just to make a report customized for the home that's easy to understand for a client,
okay,
to sort it out.
And there's also different types of reports. For instance, there's a narrative report where it starts out with a paragraph and the paragraph continues until the last page, okay? Talking of and hitting on all of these different items as it talks through the report. Now, we don't want to stop these guys from doing that, okay? We don't want to regulate their format, all right? So that's why we broke it up like this, and that's really the reason, because the guys who were fighting the asterisk in the early days were fighting it because they don't address those things in their report in a narrative version if it isn't there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the asterisk was good for that specific report, and this is how I got one over years ago. Although I'm very hard to put more in there.
I vacillate back and forth too, but there's times where people can read the words not present and become concerned.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the words not present,
like if it's flus or vents or something like that, not present, they're like, well, why aren't they present?
And my dad, yeah. I'm a kid, and my dad's a plumbing contractor, and he's like, that's awful, you know, get somebody out there. And then now you're hiring contractors to review. And I don't know. I say we leave it as is if we want.
I'm happy with asterisking it simply, and I'm saying this, biting my tongue at the same time, but I'm saying this simply to be in
41 and 59?
To be in unison with 42. Yeah.
41 and 59 is all, that's all I brought to this meeting. And
I would do that. I'd leave the words in just like it is, okay, and just put an asterisk on 41
and
59 to have you owe me one for the next time.
Okay, you got it.
And,
however, is there anything on this agenda that you're going to make me pay you back today? Because you'll forget by next week that I owe you.
I'll never forget an asterisk that we're
adding. You're right.
We're adding the asterisk to 59. Was there something else?
41,
59. So that these guys who have got their heads up there will understand that an electric water heater doesn't have to talk about
this. So this, the revision date is when the board approves the change. Is that correct?
We've gone with the committee.
Committee?
Well, this one said December of last of 15. Didn't we do this last year?
No.
We didn't do it last year.
Don't think we
so
did.
So that would have been when the committee, when the board is due. Do we have to send this to the board?
I've got a quick question for you.
You didn't do anything
no,
last
this
year.
No, this is an in.
And didn't you bring up that in the plumbing section
the
there was some oddity with regard to the standard checklist as it relates to fuel supports? Did you bring that up to me?
This is an in-house document.
And then
JMAD
can report to the board that you guys have.
Okay, no problem. I thought it might have been you, but it was probably somebody else.
Tom against my...
They will okay, you're awesome. Say Peter said no asterisks.
And what?
David hit him with the hammer and said no. We're having asterisks.
No, but I'm not there yet on the agenda.
It's my new favorite verb.
All right, thanks, buddy.
It's hard to say.
Okay. It always means I have to add words to my assessment saying assume none. Assume, well, on the fluids and vents, I would just say NA. But,
so this is, leads, if you want this, leads, this is like revision, and then it shows the two.
Okay.
And then
we can put on Facebook something that says the committee met and
you know, there's
revised
another point
the standards today. Visit the website.
The asterisk on cross connections.
Whatever.
Now, we all know what the standard cross-connections are. No high loops, no anti-siphon, that type of stuff. But when there are none, then the report doesn't address those items at all. And I always question in my mind, reviewing it, did he look? Does he know what a cross-connection is? You see?
Well, that's when I try to review it, like, how do I know whether or not there should have been a cross connection? So
right. Well, this asterisk, so you can just keep right on trucking.
You just don't look at it.
You have to make an assumption.
He's responsible for it.
Okay. So
if the client comes back and they got a bill for $400 to fix a cross connection, they lose. They lose.
And then the funny thing on your, and I'll ding them if I'm in a bad mood. They'll say no cross connections. Okay, yeah. And then they'll go on to talk about no high loops, no anti-siphon, right. In other areas in the report, and I just want to choke the guy. Because he says none, and then he identifies says, yeah. three.
That's yeah. a good clue, right.
But if I'm in a good mood, and I know that the board is pressured to get this stuff back.
But nothing you do is arbitrary or capricious.
Right, why don't we talk about consistency?
Oops. But on the same agenda item, mm-hmm. kind of going back to the law says somebody has to provide a copy of a home inspection report that meets the standard in law. If they have essentially just gone through this checklist and did what Rob showed you, they just went through the checklist and just wrote down something. Mm-hmm. Is that a home inspection report?
Is this a question? Before we get in these,
yeah,
from you, your you have
yeah,
to
this
hires.
Is probably a good this is a good enough time to talk about that. I want to bring
Dave.
Up something very interesting. Is the last EAC hearing I did was on a guy who's been around a long time, not quite as long as Peter and I. But he's done like 7,000 inspections. He's got a multi-inspector firm, and on the EAC, I reviewed the report. It followed the standards exactly, and that's all it did. That's all it did. And he did a okay. good job with photos, with descriptions where they
so
belong.
So it met your minimum standard.
It met the minimum standards. So I would argue that if that is properly filled out, we've been doing parallels since the day we were licensed, because I was told by the executive director at the time, if you guys close ranks and won't let people in because you're not doing parallels, it's gone. And I know you guys want that. It's a three-legged stool, the test, the classroom, and the parallels. It will be gone. So I have done them forever, and I have seen how people learn and behave when they're a student. They go through 2 weeks of class and 30 parallels. The real object of training is to get them to understand the standards. They have no shot. You cannot buy software off the shelf and make it meet the standards. They have to go through this massive process to make it work, and they can't pull it off. It just cannot be done, period. So the real goal is to just, if we can get them through the process, and you know the minimums, we met our goal. Right. And I've seen it done on somebody who's done 7,000 of them. And so I'm a big believer in, let's just really focus on these, and I don't care about anything else. That we all exceed the standards. You know, we just all do. But we have guys all the time in EACs that don't even know the very minimums, and that's trouble.
Okay.
But to get to this,
first off, the agreement needs a place for both parties to sign. It needs his application or license number. He's got that. So a place for both parties to sign, identify.
It doesn't have a signature block? That's not
well, it only
sign
says
here.
Sign here. Okay, both
that's
parties
a signature
have got to sign here. Otherwise, we have no agreement. Okay?
But this is an applicant. He's not. We're not making some clients.
No, I'm not looking for signatures. I'm looking for on his application. If this is going to be his agreement, it's got to be a true agreement. All right? Then
What makes that not true?
There's no place for him to sign.
Oh, the home inspector?
Has to sign.
Home inspector does not have to sign.
You have no agreement. Who's signing? Who's
that's
the client?
That's a legal
agreeing?
Matter. That's not a board
yeah,
matter.
Yeah, so look it up, because when you have an agreement, both parties need
true?
To sign.
Does the board care okay. whether the home inspector signed?
It's
yeah.
not an agreement if okay. he doesn't. Okay. Now, on the other hand, this here meets the standard with one exception, because it has to be looked at. For instance, I got a couple of things here that I don't like. The fact he has an MP put in here for vapor retarder not present, vapor retarder condition not present. We really should have a reason why it's not present, because in the state of Arizona, in some places, it's required, all right, such as Flagstaff or out there in the White Mountains. But
so that said, not present, common for this area.
Yeah, that's
you
all he has to say. Or
and
or
which
if
were those
here,
was that this, on this just is, vapor retarder? Was
this is a vapor retarder. If yeah. he,
And you named another one too, right?
Well, yeah, vapor retarder condition. So if he puts here vapor retarder not present and on vapor retarder condition says not required, that would be fine. You see what I'm saying? Now, also, he needs a front sheet on this. We need to know exactly, not on the agreement, but in the report, what property this report is addressing, okay? Because I can take a blank. I mean, this guy can get by without doing any parallels. He fills one of these out, he puts this together, he gets some Jamo out there to say, I did 30 parallels, he hands this in, okay? And then when we say where the, you know, we need to see all 30, he just makes 30 copies of that and hands it in.
Yep.
What
okay?
needs to be on the cover page?
The, the address
property
of the
address?
That would be handy.
Anything else?
Well, anything that's on your cover page. I put my client's name, I put the property
address. Whatever's on that supplement.
I put my name on there, I put the agent on, whatever he wants on a normal cover sheet. So he's missing what he has in an agreement, and then he has a generic form that's filled out. I would like to see a complete agreement and a generic form that's filled out with a cover sheet for the project.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm good with that.
And then I would accept it. I think that's what
I'm saying. That just means I need to let all 12 of the people that review these, because what happens is I get an 80-page beautiful report from Stephen Boyle, then I get a 5-page yes, no, good, bad, concrete. Like,
right. But all you have to do is look at your standards. Now, for instance, it says, what's he say there for functional flow, number 33? He might even have the same numbers, I don't know.
Functional drainage or?
Well, give me functional drainage. That'll work.
Oh, flow is good. Okay. They both say good.
Good.
Functional flow is good.
But don't they have to say what they did to measure?
No. He has to use the words functional flow or functional drainage.
The words must exist in the report. It's defined in the.
But the report says that you're supposed to put how you determine.
Or. You write in how you determine or use the words functional flow.
They're a term of art.
See, for here, for instance, it says here, functional flow, observe a report on the supply system functional flow, volume not pressure, and describe the method used to determine or have the term functional flow in the report.
Okay, well,
it's defined in the standards themselves.
It actually says that.
So I wouldn't pay for that.
So that works.
What? I don't know the purpose of having a report if.
Well, this
part
is
of
not
it,
gonna
well, it won't fly
for,
in the market.
Right.
But you can prove that he knows how to meet the standards. You know what I mean?
Will it meet the purpose of the law, though, is the question. The law says they have to submit a home inspection report, not just.
Right. And
what they're doing is looking at the standards and just answering the question.
And that's the other thing. This guy, although his client will never return to him, but this guy here.
You'll never get it. He will fail within a month.
Right.
There's no question.
But this guy here will have a legitimate report with just those very few words if he has the property address on the cover sheet with the client's name, then it would be a real home inspection.
It meets the bare minimum.
It's the low bar.
Right. So you can take this checklist, put it in the address. Go through each page, mark it, check it, put little comments, and that would be considered a home inspection report.
It would.
It could be that bad, you know, but it's not realistic. But what it allows a guy to do, here's the deal.
If he had a cover sheet.
Here's the trauma of being a student trying to learn this business. You've got to sort out what you're visually seeing and convert it into the words you're going to put on a page. If you're fighting the nightmare of getting it written, you don't learn what am I seeing and what does it mean? And you're a forensic scientist when you're doing your job.
Now, are you encouraging your staff to do this? Is this something that you would...
Yeah, that's what we tell them you can use whatever reporting system you want. And this would be the bare minimum, you know, as something that you can use. And that can be, that's a Word doc. They could write out paragraphs.
Only once would they bill as much for that.
Would they ever
see another job again.
Is this worth $500 to one of your clients?
Absolutely not.
So if one of your employees used this report, would you give a homeowner or a potential homeowner a discount for using this form versus the one that's
more... That's a business decision, right?
Right.
That's all business. You're describing business decisions.
Okay. I get what you're saying.
If there was a guy using that report working for me, he wouldn't be working.
It can't be done.
Okay.
It's the report is a learning tool for the applicant.
And for the homeowner or potential homeowner.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. No question.
Right.
Can that be made to be excellent? Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Is he going to pull it off in... So getting your parallels takes 3 weeks. There's 2 weeks of school. Home inspection, learning this business is not a five-week drill.
Right.
It's just not. So, you know, if we want to go to the legislature and turn it into the appraisal industry, it's like 2,000 hours.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. If you want high-quality folks at the end,
right,
that's what you want.
Right.
And we tried for that. Didn't get it.
Okay.
I wanted 100 parallels. We got 30.
30.
And I know, but the market should weed out.
It instantly weeds out.
Right. So, you know, if someone wants to take this and fill it out, and that's their home inspection report, you're right.
If they put a cover sheet on.
I will get
it has property address, it has inspector, it has all that stuff, so it has date.
And again, so, just conceptually, it allows them to get their focus off of, oh my God, how am I going to report this, you know, the nightmare of that, and get them on to what they're seeing and what does it mean.
Okay.
There's those three components.
Then why don't we just make this the standard? Everybody turns in a five-page.
Because now talk about consistency.
Right.
Some people
That's
think
what
they
I
have
wanted.
To turn in the 500 pages.
Now we're back to what I wanted.
But David doesn't like it. So no, Peter doesn't like it. But David likes it.
Because when we're doing the assessment, we're also trying to see if they're making mistakes. I mean, there's a lot of things I do that mean.
You said we can't force them to do
an assessment.
Give us, you must use this form.
No, I agree. I think you can tell them what the minimums are, but you can't dictate how they do their job.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, if they want to have, a report that has two words on each line, as long as it meets the standard, if they want to have 100 pages with 57 photos with each thing,
and maybe
that's the way they want to do it.
And I didn't even apply till I felt competent enough, and I'm going to give you my best work.
And you can tell them what to do, you just can't tell them how to do it.
My feelings on that is simply that this meets the standard, but I'm not going to advertise that. All right, this meets the minimum low bar standard we have, but I don't want to advertise that in the industry because we're not putting out a quality product if we do this.
The other thing we talked about that...
we can't ding them or they'll sue us.
I don't know if it exists, is we talked about you must have at least one or two major problems in the report because they can't have... What we don't want them to do is have every item good, you know, and then, well, we need to see how they perform when it's an immediate major concern, which requires them to not just say roof shingles are missing. They need to go on to say that it must be addressed, you know, by whom, and kind of go the step further.
I hate the word good. Because it's so subjective, you know. I would be upset if I got a report that said good.
You'll never call them back.
Well, I threw that out there.
No, I know, but I mean, people are using, like, if you put one of your forensic reports good.
We went down this road.
We've been down this road.
It's okie dokie.
Now, the trouble is there's so many words. We run down this road. We have decided years ago that if the word gives a positive connotation, we would accept it, and a word giving a negative connotation. So there's a word out there called serviceable that I hate. I want to bang my head against the wall every time I hear it, because to me serviceable is ambiguous. It doesn't need service,
what about
or does it not?
Functional. Okay. Functional, another word.
There's words we all like.
We determined years ago that the word serviceable is being used in a positive connotation, and therefore we accept it. And good, of course, is positive, so we'll accept it. You see?
That's right.
It's not giving anybody a better understanding of anything. Okay? How good is it? I mean, and good by whose standard?
That's in the
preamble
to the checklist.
But, if you read that front page, which everybody skips over, but always comes with the report applications, right? But we have to accept the minimum standard. And trust me, the guy working on a minimum standard will not last the month out in the valley. So the guy using this, and that brings me to another point, David, which I don't know how to fight this. If he learns after doing this to get his license and selling this to somebody for $300, okay, and then finds out that everybody's got complaints against him, nobody likes it, and then starts modifying his report to be much more than that. I don't mean little things and over time. I mean immediately changes his report format. Then we really didn't see what he's doing out in the field to license him. You
we'll
know
never
I mean?
See what people make
I
changes.
Know.
Unless we get
That's
complaints.
Why I have no
so
solution.
If somebody did this and they got a complaint and we put this in front of the EAC, what's the EAC going to say?
He bought everyone.
I just saw a report. Just did a complaint on one.
Mm-hmm.
It was that, but with that's a Word doc. You can type that out and fill out a paragraph and dial it. And that's what he did with photos, and that's mm-hmm. all it was.
So if somebody has a complaint, say, about foundation, he said concrete, good, all right, then he bought that whole foundation. And if a complaint can prove that the concrete, good foundation was bad at the time of the inspection, he gets a perfect. See, because he buys that whole foundation by the word good.
So that meets the minimum standard.
He didn't even say things like typical settlement cracks, minor movement, typical spalling, minor erosion. I mean, the guy's hanging himself.
In my mind, if there's not one immediate major repair item on there, I don't think we would want to accept it because we don't know the behavior of the applicant when he encounters one of these.
Right. Did he follow the standards? The standards include package. Giving a recommendation for remedy
yeah.
for adverse conditions.
Yeah, he did add that okay. somewhere.
Right, so it's not law yet,
but
it's in the rule package.
I would say and that it should be just an obvious custom, you know,
mm-hmm.
of behavior for reviewing those. But, yeah, I'm definitely in favor. I'm not just moderately believing, just let it sneak by. I advocate for that method. I really
okay.
do. And we have trained hundreds of folks.
Now I'll let the evaluators know, because if I send this to Peter, he may be all right with it. If I send
exactly.
it to Brick, he'll say, what is this shit? I would never pay for
exactly.
it.
Well, when it comes
That's
back,
not a criteria.
Right. Before you send it back to the applicant, you have to actually look at it and see what he doesn't like about it. For instance, I would send that back because it doesn't have a job sheet, a cover sheet. Okay, I would send it back because the application doesn't have a place for all parties to sign and designated place for all parties to sign, you see? And then I would go through it and I would pick apart little things like vapor barrier not present. I would want to know why it's not present, so I would pick that apart. But if someone sends it back and says, no, this is no good, it's not doing anything, and they don't
no
have a reason.
No customer would pay for this.
Then
that's
you
actually not what this assessment. Board determines.
Yeah,
you
and that's the big thing. Does it meet the minimum standards or not? That's the only question the reviewers should. I mean, if they put color photos in their reports and this doesn't have any, they can't say this is an act.
Right.
Because there's nothing the standard says you have to have photos.
That's right.
So it's if they have one question, does it meet the minimum standards?
Right.
Period.
Right.
You know, that's what they're reviewing to.
And we do give them a guide that says that.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at minimum standards, not what you would do.
Right.
Yes.
It's a yes or no question. Does it meet it? Does it not meet it?
That's right.
And
why this form does meet the standard. Now, no house, you got to understand, there isn't a house out there without a problem. Okay? So if God gives you a completely...
That's a good point.
If he gives you a completely perfect report, it's not a real report.
That's
and you may
never
want to question
happened.
That.
Because that's a
there,
good point.
There's not a house out there without a problem. Not even mine. As a matter of fact, don't ever marry the cobbler if you need a new pair of shoes.
That is true. That's very true. So for that reason, we almost don't even need a rule, and you can behave like that, that no house had zero problems.
Right.
You know, you must show us a problem.
I'd take a cover sheet. I'd take an agreement that's a real agreement. Okay,
paper report.
Cover sheet, and that form, and if it's properly filled out, I would push it through.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll send an email out to everybody, and I'll let them know that if you see something that's 5 pages. The thing is, because we're seeing, like, Stephen Boyle did one for me the other day, 80 pages long, beautiful summaries, probably hit on everything. I didn't do it against a checklist or anything, but, and then I see a 5-page.
Mm-hmm.
And as an evaluator, you're like, what is
Who
this?
Who was the guy you mentioned?
Steve, he did an evaluation on my house. So
he's going to do a wonderful business. okay?
Yeah.
Because he knows what the client is looking for. He knows what the realtors are looking for. He knows what the seller is about to nab him
for. Right, it's all about the business, yeah. He knows the business. I'm going to tell people, use this guy.
Right. See, that's how it works.
You know, the tool there is just, it's a evaluation tool, and it's a demonstration to the board that they know how to meet the standards. The expectation that they can be successful, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, and that's not,
that's really the reason when they have to, when they realize they have to have a business behind that form.
Yeah.
And so if they're, you know, we'll just kind of keep exploring this, because maybe I can get to people who teach too. Because the people who teach can then start to talk about these matters, you know. If you feel like you're a software expert and you can get through the process of making a real report, go for it. Start today. Build around the requirements and add to it, because we all do, to be successful. But if you're just trying to learn the technical side first, and software is not your forte, then this can work too, you know.
So did you guys vote to approve the checklist?
I was just going to go there. Yeah, we actually need a motion to approve those modifications to the checklist supplement.
And they were what, two asterisks?
Two asterisks only, but I don't think we have to get into what they were probably, but the
41 and 59?
Revision date of November 14th.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we accept the report checklist supplement with the two modifications to 41 and 59.
To asterisks?
As noted. The asterisks.
You have to change the revision date?
Yes.
Change the revision date to November 14th, unless 2017, unless the board, it's required that the board, it be the date of adoption.
I think we're fine.
Okay, good.
I'll right. second that.
Very good. Any additional discussion? Any opposition to the passage? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you. Now, on to item 5C, assigning severity ratings for violations substantiated during an EAC meeting. Was that?
That was a Doug Carlin request.
Yeah, this is something we talked a little bit about on the phone, and Jeff's been involved in those discussions as well. With the new EAC format that we have, where we're just voting and substantiating the alleged violation instead of each individual deficiency and whatnot, there's been some confusion that's come into play in terms of assigning a severity rating to that substantiated violation. We used to hit each one of them individually, but now we're not doing that. We're assigning a severity rating to the substantiated violation. So
the one substantiated violation that they failed to meet the standards.
Right. So, and you can chime in, Jeff. My thought on this is, you know, if the committee finds, for instance, there's a substantial severity rating or risk to the public based on one of those deficiencies or one of those allegations that were found to be a deficiency, that the severity rating should rise to the highest level or whatever is underneath.
I like that.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
I mean, if you have 110 and 9 ones, it's not an average of that of the two.
Exactly.
It's a 10. You know, because you have one item that's severe. The rest, it doesn't balance out, you know, that the rest of this stuff is nothing. It doesn't matter. You go with whatever the worst thing is that's out there, because that's going to be the public safety thing.
I'm in agreement.
The rest of it's ticky-tack. I mean,
yeah, I mean, and the board could just get rid of all those that are lesser and just say...
Well, those might come into play to give the, you know, they might come into play too. They would help justify the higher rating.
Right, but I don't think we need to say, you know, allegation 1, 1 of 10, allegation 2, 2 of 10, allegation 3, 5 of 10, allegation 10, 10 of 10, and then say, okay, well, the average is 5.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's like, no, yeah. You had 1 and it's 10. I'd still, you know,
I
say,
agree with that.
List them all out and say, yeah, there was a lot of violations, but there was this
one that
this
really
is the reason
serious.
Why you're before the board right now. This is the reason why you're getting disciplined, is, you know, for this one major thing, because this is a serious, you know, a serious event.
I'm not happy with the definitions of the 1 through 5. I think that they overlap too much. I think that there's a lot of confusion in just determining between a 2 and a 3 and a 3 and a 4 and a 4 and a 5. I'd like to take that and rewrite it with your permission.
To what?
To rewrite it back to the next. No, oh. 1 through 5.
I want
to define
definition.
The 1s through 5.
Weren't you the gentleman that took it from 1 to 10 down to 1 to 5?
I'm the one who recommended that. Actually, I recommended 1 to I recommended 1 to 4, but Randy wrote the definition out of 1 to 5.
So just a revision of the definitions only.
I want to make
maybe
this
beef
more
those
clear.
Up a little.
Okay.
To be clear.
There's way too much gray.
Yeah, if you
area.
Would do that, that'd be awesome.
We can sit here and I can get three guys in the same meeting saying that it's a 2, 3 or a 4. You know?
That's okay.
It's got to be
so
more specific.
Go for it,
then
and
I'll
then
need
we'll
a
put it on
of
the next agenda for the
that.
Committee members to
yeah,
review.
Yeah.
And part of that comes up in the EACs, too. I mean, if you have an EAC of four different guys and they come up with, I think it's a 1, I think it's a 2, I think it's a 3, you just have to discuss it and, you know, try
right.
to
right.
get
right.
the point across of, hey, why do you think it's a 1 and why do you think it's a 4?
Right.
And
right.
two
and
guys in the middle, you know, kind of have to make up their mind. I mean, it's kind of more, it's like a jury. I mean, you have to come to a consensus.
We do. And then I like to take the words that they say and actually throw them right back at them in a number 4 category when they're saying it's a number 3.
Right.
But so I want those words in those categories
he's good
to
at defining
actually be the
stuff
right
like that,
words.
Too.
Yes.
You're you know perfect for that, Peter.
I want them to be the right
that's
words.
That's a good idea, I think. And
can
this
I get a copy of that before I leave?
And the topic came up because there was confusion, you know, in this particular case, you know, do we average? Because there wasn't this one absolutely catastrophic severe thing, so we were just confused by it. So then it sounds like just train the people or whoever's running the meeting that to make it clear that they rise to the highest level.
And it's incumbent upon us to make sure you guys discuss it mm-hmm. so you do come to consensus because
yeah.
that's important for guys that aren't like you two,
and it wouldn't
understand that. Where
yeah.
that's where the confusion lies. For
right.
guys that don't have that
same
good back. Explanation provided to them, or the understanding.
Right.
Right. And
so
I think of the thing
discussion.
That comes, you know, the page that comes to the board, the synopsis page, you know, where it says, you know, recommendation, or this was the violation, and this was the severity of this, and just a little blurb saying, "We're discussing the EAC committee, and this is why this is a 5."
Mm-hmm.
You know. This person did this, blah, 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 and just list out a couple of sentences about it. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's helpful. I mean, you know, reading through all of the report and all that stuff, I mean, if you're not sitting in the meeting, you don't understand. But if there's like a 2-line sentence, it's, this is what the board discussed, this is what the rating we gave, and this is why. And, you know, just list that out, then the, you know, board members can
mm-hmm.
just read through that and go, okay, you know, they have no railings on their balcony. Okay, well, and the home inspector didn't even mention it. Okay, I can see why that's a problem. You know, it's a life safety kind of thing, you know, but at least you'll understand, you know, we understand why
mm-hmm.
the EAC came up with that. You know, because the board relies almost entirely on the EAC's,
right.
you know,
right.
recommendations and stuff, because you guys are the ones that are hearing the evidence and,
right.
you know, listening to the whole thing. We listen to the people that come in and both sides and, you know, all that stuff, but the EAC has a lot of weight in that because
yeah.
you guys have actually sat down and went through the whole entire thing. So
mm-hmm.
Having a synopsis is the best thing. And those have got a lot better, you know.
Great.
They continue to get better and better. It makes going through. That's why board meetings don't last till middle of the afternoon.
Really?
Anymore.
It even helps at that.
Oh, so the Christmas party
is
on time this year?
Yeah, well, probably not, but...
yeah, what time is the... how
I wish you could tell,
but is the
know.
Agenda this time?
Well,
we're going to try to keep it a little...
Yeah. I know licensing looks pretty short. We're not going to be doing any major policy stuff, so it's
no
really
hearings.
So you would
right.
say 11:30? Noon.
Noon.
Okay, perfect. That's an aside.
It's all 100.
If you come at noon, bring a book.
Okay.
It's maybe 10:30. We'd have brunch.
Yeah. All right, so no actions required.
Well, David, I'm going to take that form and rewrite it for the next meeting.
Yeah, that's great,
so
Peter.
We'll carry that on a future meeting. Peter, revision...
I'm just going to change the definition to be more clear.
To EAC definitions? EAC severity definitions?
Yeah.
Peter, revision to
DAC severity definitions.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a warning, that'll be a future meeting.
Yep.
In there. Okay. Outstanding. So last one's 5E, and that's rules, changes, and I added that. And did I hear something this morning about the submittal date, or is it not technically submitted yet?
Well, we've already gone through the governor's office for approval, so we can't just make changes now.
Oh, so it's set right now?
Probably the better thing to do is it's ready to go for publication for proposed rulemaking, and then make comments on that if you want to make changes.
So that's the public, open public
yeah,
section?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we dial it, we have to dial it back to the governor's office.
Does that tend to have more scrutiny to it and raise red flags for people if the agency comes back with?
I don't know about that, but we're at the point where we're going to publish our draft, and then it's open for 30 days for people to comment about what we've drafted. So we don't know what those comments will be, but we need to, if we get the comments, and they have to be in writing, we need to meet and discuss the comments to see if we want to make those changes or additions or subtractions, whatever it happens to be, or not. And then we need to explain that to the Governor's Regulatory Review Council as the package proceeds. So now I think what Patty's trying to say is if you want to add anything major
or modify
substantially, yeah, I mean, I would say let's wait until next package.
Next package?
Yeah, the next time we want to modify the rules to do that, just because we don't want the governor's office to say, oh, you waited to sneak it in, you know.
Yeah, I wondered if it would just put a big kink in everything.
Yeah,
well, we're going to do another rules package for other stuff. So,
you are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next year or something?
Mm-hmm.
Think so?
We have to do it for alarms now, finally, since we've got them
straightened
out.
No one wants them, so we're...
Okay, so 2018 alarms. When does the... Yeah, I won't do anything in the comment period. It's probably not necessary.
Okay. But, you know, in this rule package for the home inspectors, we've added the definition of the checklist supplement. We've, eliminated a lot of stuff. I think cleans it up a lot.
Took all the definitions out because they're already in the standards.
Right.
Peer review is in there. Parallel inspection, parallel inspector, and peer review wall.
Mm-hmm. So your definitions, and then I think even 247 we made some changes to as well.
Yeah, we want them 50 years experience, 2,500 inspectors.
So is it okay if we keep that on the agenda just to kind of babysit
for
the progress?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so just...
We're putting report
just that checklist. Way, when we're preparing the next rules we could have the info.
We're putting the report checklist supplement definition in there as well, David.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a tool.
I just thought it was important since you guys rely on it and it hadn't been in here.
Yeah,
so
that's a good call.
It's a tool. It says so right there.
It's a tool.
And then all our beautiful definitions have been scratched out.
And the Christmas party, what day is that?
The 12th.
Okay, I'll just make sure it says new-ish.
New-ish.
11, come on. That's ridiculous.
They'll never be out by 11.
Okay, so that ends 5E, I believe.
Yeah,
and
I
now
we're
back to my favorite part.
Oh, and I don't have numbers for you because our computer system is not up to snuff and not able to report yet.
What? How can that be?
So
you want an enhancement.
Yeah. God. Okay, so
can get a laminated pocket card, please? I mean, a laminated pocket card?
We can, yes.
We can. For $10?
That. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That little paper card keeps getting lost. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so the report on the computer system is really the big deal that's going on at the agency. And as you know, we went live 3 months ago, pretty much to the date, right? 14?
8, 9? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ish, yeah.
And we still have what's called workarounds, which is where we can't do what we want to do unless we take some extra steps to do it. Mm-hmm. We only have a registrant search available on the web, which isn't as good as the registrant search that we had before, and which JMAD gave up on and said, just check this for me.
Yeah. Email Melissa.
It didn't work that
check
well.
This.
I think it's working better, but I don't have 100%.
I tried it and it worked okay. I tried it the other day. It looked like there's a spot for disciplinary action.
There is.
I saw that.
Yes. It's not functioning yet, but it's there.
So you'll go back retroactively and insert that data someday.
It'll pull from the respondent and... Yeah.
We're very lucky to have Mr. Stamm here who worked for that company and has been able to do a lot of fixes for us. The short of it is we don't have what we contracted for yet, and I am not authorizing any more money be sent to them until they deliver a product that we can use. And if they can't, then we will need to revert back to our old kind of crappy system. But we, as an update, issued a demand letter to the vendor saying, you have, here are all the problems that we see. You have until the 20th to respond. They've already responded. And then you have until the 27th to fix it, or we're going to terminate. And if we terminate, then there's a 5-year ban that the company can't work in Arizona pursuant to state procurement laws and rules. So I read the response yesterday. It's a little whiny. Not bad, though. And they are actually sending, well, the CEO is coming in with a very nice woman who was here for 4 weeks trying to help us get the system working to talk to us because they're afraid that we're having communication issues. I find that kind of amusing because I don't think I'm hard to understand.
What?
We'd have to talk to your husband to actually know if that's a true statement.
He would agree. I'm 100% sure of that.
Woman-ese.
Have you ever had a woman as one? I wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
I know, that's what I...
Well, and what was so much fun was I wrote the demand letter and sent it over to state procurement. They sent it to the AG's office and said, we like this. This is very good.
Nice.
Yeah, so, and then they beefed it up a little with some more terms and sections from our contract with them.
Good job.
So we'll see what happens, but yeah, it'll be push comes to shove by the end of the month, and then yeah, we'll see. But
they've got a huge incentive to get really serious about this.
They do. Did you want to add anything?
No.
No? You're good. Okay.
Are you holding enough money? That's my question.
I think so. Probably about $200,000. Which is, I think, a make or break amount.
For them, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. J-Mad's like, and who would have thought this would have been so frickin' difficult? But we are not the only agency. We're not the only agency.
I would have predicted that.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
You know, and part of it is our naivete because we really only had the one computer system for 30 years, and then our SQL server, our system we migrated off of was not, there was nothing added to it. It was just to capture the old info that was on our very first computer system to make sure it didn't die when the computer broke down and crumbled. Mm-hmm. And so there's no enhancements, no modern abilities, nothing, as you know. So we go in with a pretty good request for a bid from vendors and said, this is what we want. We want this nice, shiny Chevy Malibu 2015 version, right? And what we've ended up with is...
76 Pinot.
Basically, I was going to say a 72 Nova that's all dented and wobbly and...
I like 72 Nova. Bad example. I'm going with the Pinto.
Yeah, I think that's probably...
You could have said Vega. Like
or Vega, right.
Vega was
76
awesome.
Pinot gets hit in the rear and rolls up.
The problem is that...
Which is what that website is.
To meet the states... mandates for vendors makes it so you can't go to the best and brightest.
No, it's true.
The businesses.
And really, this vendor was clearly the best option at the time, 2 years ago, but it's taken so long. Their financial situation has changed. They've lost 50% of their workforce, so they're bringing in untrained people to do the work.
Because people are poaching them, would you say?
Yeah. Rob left on his own to see the world.
Just happened to do it downstairs.
He just very wisely stayed in touch as he was doing his Rolling Stone impersonation, you know. But you guys may have heard about the Vital Records disaster on October 1. Vital Records, which is another state agency, went live with their new system, not our vendor, different vendor, and they were unable to issue death certificates. So for like the first 3 weeks of October, dead bodies were backing up in morgues and funeral homes because no one could bury their loved ones without a death certificate.
Oh my goodness.
So that was a disaster over at state procurement. There has been a disaster. Our comparable agency, Registrar of Contractors, went with another vendor, Acela, who actually bid on ours and we didn't choose them. That was such a disaster that they got out of that contract and now have tacked themselves on to the statewide licensing option, which 13 smaller agencies are using, and beefing that up. That may be good for us because if they can make that work, we might be able to join that at some point if this system doesn't work out for us. But there have been disasters.
The governor, if he has a mission, that should be it.
Well, he's all about modernizing and making sure the public has access to the information and, you know, all of that. But it's just so hard. Vendors are lying in their bids. They're exaggerating their capacities. They're exaggerating their financial security. Mm-hmm. They're not explaining the amount of time accurately that an agency needs to be involved in all of this work. So we can't accurately plan for...
Welcome to the contract.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and then I've been working with this young woman, very nice, from state procurement, and she's been saying, Melissa, I'm so sorry. I've been, you know, keeping you waiting. It's just the whole state is moving off Microsoft to Google, and that's apparently been a disaster. Mm-hmm. So she's on the phone, you're not going to believe the Google stuff is such a nightmare. You know? And that's a big statewide movement for all agencies.
That
so.
Is a big, that's a hard transition.
You know, it's too bad we didn't know they weren't issuing death certificates. We could have voted last November 2nd. All their dead bodies.
Very funny, very funny. You may know Alicia Gonzalez, who was our ops manager, left our agency earlier this month to go work for a church up in Anthem. And so we're taking that opportunity to reorganize a little, or at least review like position descriptions and figure out how best to use our personnel resources to best capacity. So the three of us, Doug's unit is not going to be affected at all, and Kurt not at all, but licensing and operations, we currently have merged them for an interim period. Everyone's reporting to Rob, which is why he looks so pale today.
Like he hasn't slept.
Yeah, and the hair, you know. But
disheveled, I think that's
you know, hopefully we'll be, I think it's a good thing. We haven't done it in about 4 years, so it's time to see what the descriptions say people should be doing and, what, you know, take into account what people want to do and how we can do things better. So that's basically my
great
report.
Thank you.
Sure.
That's a great plan. I like it.
Good.
I like it a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks tons. And then that's agenda item 6. No action required. Agenda item number 7 is my report, and we addressed it already.
Okay.
I got try and get everything on the agenda I can think of, but All right, so I have nothing. And for future agenda items, so the three I have are Peter...
rewrite the 1 to 5.
Revision to EAC severity definitions. A rules change update. And if we could also, since we're going to be active this legislative session, if we could put legislative updates, which will go till...
And actually, it'll probably be good timing, because you guys want to meet when? In January?
January.
Yeah, so that's when all the bills should be out. Should be
when they're back in session in January.
Yeah.
We didn't have anything more to do from that last agenda. The committee discussed whether a builder could deny a home inspector access to the roof. We dropped that, right?
We talked about it.
We said that the inspector's best action would be making a note of the denial in his home inspection report.
Right.
Was staff going to look into that? No.
I don't think so.
No.
No, there was no action.
Because we don't really care, right?
No.
I don't recall it.
A home inspection report can be done.
Heard was never showed up, so that was at the request of the home inspector.
But he didn't attend our meeting.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We still talked about it, but we didn't have any action.
It was a good discussion.
And then we brought out Eckley's
Right.
statement on that,
right.
I remember, yes.
Is there anything else you can think of for it?
Do we need to have on the agenda this update with the the background check card? Should that be a continuing item?
Legislation?
Or is that
that's all legislative. That's going to be part of the bill. We'll have it on.
Okay.
Is it possible to receive a copy of the rules package or the rules change document?
Yeah.
Actually, it's ready for publishing, I think.
Or if you have this link at home,
to,
you can just print it.
Okay.
Or do you want?
I have the PDF here. Is it? Is there? If somebody can send me the link, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Would you send it to him?
To all
the
of us.
The rules. Or do you want?
What
do you
have
want
right
the
here?
Actual wording, right?
The R4.
Yeah, just the changes or whatever the rules package changes.
Yeah, what you have in here is professional
yeah,
occupation board
of
tech.
Just a little article doesn't actually have the rules laid out. This is the...
Dave just wants a copy of this.
I can just email this right to you.
You want
to
do it right now?
I can't do it from this computer.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Email me, too.
If I
can
get
Kurt,
that, that'd be
please.
Awesome, Chris. Thank
I can
you.
Do that as soon as the day is over. It'll be done.
Thank you.
To me as well, Title 4. Okay.
I'll send it all the...
Yeah, all the... There you go.
Because J-Med's going to read it.
J-Med's got nothing better to do. And you don't work or nothing, do you?
Nope. Apparently not.
Now, these strikeouts, they disappear when it's final.
When it's final, right. But we need to demonstrate to the committee that reviews our rules, this is the change we're proposing, and justify that to them. So, yeah, once they've approved it.
Have you justified that yet?
We have to go through a publication process.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're working on it.
Okay.
We're working on it.
It's a very long
process.
And then we'll be sure to invite you guys to go to the GERC committee meeting when they vote to approve. So.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah, I met the new lawyer who heads up the GERC committee now.
Mm-hmm.
She's a young woman who's been in private practice, and we did a panel lecture together at the law school last week. Mm. She's very boring.
Very what?
I, however, was received very warmly by the audience, and it pissed her off. So she kept trying for the last word.
Mm. She should have been trying for the last. What's the matter with it?
Couldn't pull it off.
Okay, so when's our next meeting?
Yeah. What is the best timing? It looks like January 9th or 11th or 16th or 18th.
I'm good on all the days.
Any of those. It doesn't matter. Is it better to go a little bit later in January?
Not the 29th.
Well, kind of the middle.
How about the 18th? Rob, are you back? Or your
from
your trip?
From January.
The 11th, I have HR meeting.
Oh, yeah, we have a small and medium. We can send someone to that, or
it might be in the...
When's the board meeting? Because we generally like to meet before that.
I think the 30th, right, Kurt?
No,
23rd.
Oh, is it the 23rd?
Okay.
So we always try to meet before the board meets, mm-hmm. just in case there's something that has to go through them.
16? 11 or 16?
January 23rd.
I'm good for any of those days. All right, the 11th then.
The 11th? Okay.
11th?
You guys write it?
I like it.
I never get to pick those days. Okay. January.
January 11th.
All right, cool.
So that's a done deal. All right, we have one more motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we adjourn.
I'm sure that's not going to be argued with.
He seconds.
He seconds. And we're not in opposition, so motion passes. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
11:30.